Hey, welcome to the Release City Podcast. I'm Bradley Weber, the lead pastor here at Release City Church. I just wanted to personally thank you for dropping by and connecting with us as part of our online family. It's my prayer that today's message will inspire you. Man, I hope it builds your faith, and I hope it challenges you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right in to today's message.
His promises are true. I will make you this promise that after what you're getting ready to be exposed to, I promise your life will never, ever be the same again. How many were here last year when Rachel was here? Welcome back. How many, this is your first time, you've never been exposed to what you're getting ready to be exposed to? Absolutely. Rachel is a dear friend of Amy and myself. She was a part of our ministry that I was on staff at for 10 years back in Georgia. Beautiful, beautiful family. I said this last time, your mom and your grandmother always sat right behind us, and then you did as well when you were in town. Rachel is one of the most sought after public communicators. She's more than, I don't even like to use the word motivational speaker, to college campuses, high schools, business organizations. She speaks to thousands of athletes every year. It is an honor and a privilege to have her at this house. We are going to be working diligently with our school board over the course of the next few months to have her come back and see if we can't have her here on a Sunday and then just wear her out on a Monday and move her through the county to talk to our student body, because I'm telling you, it's more than a motivational speech. It's more than just a talk. It is a heart connection with the Father that she has, and she will demonstrate her love for him today in this place. So, Release City Church, would you please put your hands together and welcome with me here today our good friend, Miss Rachel. Come on, y'all can do better than that.
Love you so much. There you go. Okay. There you go. Take it
away. All right. Good morning, y'all. How you doing? Probably get this a lot, but that was really weak. How y'all doing? Y'all in the house of God this morning. All right, that's a little bit better. So I have to tell you something. First of all, we're going to move very quickly. I'm going to pack a lot of information in. I was a sports reporter, a national sports reporter, for 17 years. I really, really, really highly, highly, highly encourage you to take out your notes app on your phone. Or actually, there's scientific studies, which I love to use God's word also with scientific studies when I can, that says when you write something down, you actually fire up a different neural pathway in the brain. So we believe, we think, and I wrote about this in my first book, we think we're going to remember the things that bless us. The little person at the store, the hug of a child, the whatever it may be, right? And we think we're going to remember it, and we get some distance down the road, and we forget it, okay? Because we get more information in this thing, these things, in one day than a person in the 14th century got in their entire lifetime, okay? Really, to be honest with you, thank you, I don't need them. It's blowing my hair, too. I'm like, y'all are messing up the look. I'm just kidding. And really, to be honest with you, here's the reality. We're not meant to hear about every fire, every wreck, every murder, every crime, everything. I don't know if anybody else is like me, but it feels heavy a lot of days. Heavy a lot of days. I also want to encourage you and let you know that you're not supposed to be tied to this thing, right? Like, you're not, you know, unless you were in, you know, rescue or fire or EMS, it's okay to put it down sometimes. It's okay to go outside, take your Bible, take your shoes off. You know, Native Americans called it grounding. Get some vitamin D, get some sunshine, put your feet on the earth. Like, God created your temple, your body, to be able to heal itself, right? Like, he did, absolutely. By the way, also, too, for those that are seeing me for the first time, y'all can talk back to me. You can, woo, yeah, clap, snap, run around the building, whatever it is that you want to do, okay? I don't like silent audiences. Makes me nervous. So y'all are feel free to express yourself in any way possible. And if you're an introvert, go on with your bad self and be an introvert, okay? Ain't nothing wrong with that. I spent 20 years of my life trying to be less colorful, less loud, less Latina, less myself. And now I'm just like, I love myself because God created me. And I also love... I love myself enough to know when I need to go check myself before I wreck myself. You know what I mean? Like, I recently had a family situation where I didn't respond in the way that I wanted to, and I wasn't proud of myself. And you know what I did? I went and made an appointment with a therapist. Because I had been out of therapy and everything was good but what I recognized in that moment was that God had some more healing that he wanted to do with me. And not only does God do his healing through his word and time with us, but I also believe that God uses beautiful therapists to be able to help you change your perspective and understand why you do what you do. So I just had to start out with all of that information this morning. I also wanted to say this really quickly. Y'all gonna hear me jump around, like, and you're gonna wonder, how in the world is she gonna land the plane? I'm gonna land the plane, okay? Just stay with me, okay? I also wanted to say this. Pastor Bradley said something this morning that just struck me. He was like, she's more than a motivational speaker. God has been really doing a work in my heart lately. And I don't even answer to motivational speaker anymore, really. I find myself, and I want y'all to write this down because I believe you can be this anywhere, in any profession, in any walk of life, whether you're the principal, the janitor, the teacher, the stay-at-home mom, the CEO, the business owner, wherever you are, I find myself to be a sacred space holder. Yeah. I don't speak to people anymore. I invite them to places of vulnerability, radical vulnerability, of healing, of change. And what I was telling your amazing team that serves this morning is we're just an instrument. All any of us are is an instrument. And this building is great. This building is wonderful. And I understand that you're going into a new building. And I'm so excited for you. But let me tell you something. You can have church wherever you are. I had church in a gas station this morning with a man named Adrian and Joseph, right? And so I want you what I do is I call it soul homework for later on. So I want you to later on ponder this. Where can I be a sacred space holder in my life? In the hallways at school, when I'm serving, when I'm cleaning the bathroom, when I'm picking up trash, when I'm leaving a place, as my grandmother used to say, better than when I found it. I don't care if you made the mess. Clean it up. Right? I don't care. This idea that the world, which I believe the enemy is behind, that wants to infect us with, is that you're my competition. I need to hoard, give, you know, do it. You're different. We don't need to like each other. We need to pit against each other. I'm just going to do for me. I'm going to make my family. I'm going to take care of me. Times are lean. No, that's not what God wants for us. God wants us as a community. God wants us helping each other. God wants us picking up trash that don't belong to us. God wants us inviting people to places of sacred moments, sacred spaces. Are you okay? What do you need? Can I come over there and bring some people and help you move in or help you clean the house or bring a pizza or what's going on? Don't just take people's answer for it. Look in their eyeballs and I call it the nudge or a ping. Write that down, whichever word resonates with you, nudge or a ping. So I've started doing this thing where I leave the house in the morning and I put on a garmentness, Pastor B, of openness. And I just say, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. I'm open, okay? I'm open to whoever you want me to meet today, whoever you want me to turn around and compliment today. I am open, okay? I am open, especially when it costs me something. I'm open. And it has been unreal, the places where he's taken me when I am open. And you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to touch, who you're going to go back and compliment. You don't know where God is going to take you when you put on this garment of openness. So the word nudge, the word ping, is something that happens in your soul when you ask for this openness. When you ask God to be open, y'all, I will meet people at the gas station, at the airport, in the bathroom. I mean, all over the place. Because I've asked God to make me a noticer and to make me open. So I'm constantly looking around. Do you need me? Do they need a compliment? What's going on with them? What's happening? And it costs me something. It costs me time. It costs me money. But that's okay because I'm working for the heavenly realm. I want to remind y'all that this morning, we know this, But time is fleeting, y'all. Do you know that you can log in right now and you can measure how much money you got in your bank account? You can't measure your time bank. Time is the greatest and most precious commodity, and yet we cannot measure it. I don't know how long I have on this planet. If I pass away in a car crash on the way home today, I will know I'm doing what God wants me to do, right? So when you are out there being open and you walk away from somebody and you feel, again, these whatever word you want on it. For me, it's a ping or a nudge. I feel a little ping in my spirit. And it's like, you know, God just thumped me. He's like, go back, touch them, talk to them, speak to them, compliment them. Speak life into them. That's the ping or the nudge. In this sometimes, and the world and everything else will keep us so busy, we don't notice the ping or the nudge. And we need the ping and the nudge. And the title of what I'm going to share with you today is called Spiritual Goggles. Spiritual Goggles. And it's so crazy. And I don't know about y'all, but I like live in a constant sense of awe of God. Like he just blows my mind all the time. That the fact that Pastor B would be preaching on this, and months ago I said I want to preach on. And by the way, I'm like your street preacher, okay? I'm like your Timu preacher. He's the real preacher, you know, because I go and I speak places where I can speak about God, and it's faith based. You know, I'm always a little hesitant. I'm like, I'm speaking, preaching, teaching, you know, and I'm always a little scared of the P word. But then I'm like, you know what? No, I'm a street preacher. You know, I'm a Timu preacher. You know, you got your real preacher over here, but then you got your Timu preacher right here. Okay. So $9.99, free gift, spin the wheel. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are on there all the time. You could actually get some good stuff there, but I do try to go made in the USA. But anyway, I digress. All right, y'all, spiritual goggles. Recently, I had the most crazy thing it was actually a year ago last week happened to me. And it preceded that by about 6 months. I felt the ping. This is like, you're going to hear this over and over again, the nudge. That God said to me, go to the least of these. What he said to me. And a friend of mine was doing, they have a magazine and it goes into prisons all over the country. And around that time, they had asked me to be in the magazine, be on the magazine cover, and to share my testimony. And I was really nervous because in this testimony, like, I bared everything, including the fact that I used to be a drug addict. And I went to my husband and I asked him, can I talk about this? And they're listening this morning. I love you guys. And I asked him if I could talk about this, and I asked for his blessing, and he said, yes. And I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you, my covenant partner. And I remember going to my daughter and telling her, and she was shocked, but I was able to share with her, you know, what God had done for me and that he had saved me. And I remember Pastor B and Pastor Amy, y'all, being at the church that I was at with them. My mom had been going there and had been asking me to come to church. She would not quit asking me to come to church. And she didn't know what was going on with me, really. She had not put a name with it yet, but I was skinny. When I got baptized there, when I rededicated my life, my upper arm was the size of my wrist. There's a picture of me and Pastor Gino, and my upper arm is literally the size of my wrist, but I had so much joy on my face, and my mama did not know what was going on. She just knew something was wrong, and she just kept asking me to church, asking me to church, asking me to church, asking me to church, and around that time, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I knew I was hurting people. I knew I was contributing to the delinquency of other people by selling drugs. It had progressed beyond something fun, and it had turned into a years-long habit. And so it's just so interesting to me how the seed was planted all the way back then, right? All the way back then. And I've been sharing and speaking and all these things, but all these years I had never shared this part of my story because I had an agent. I used to be a sportscaster that told me, don't you dare tell that part of your story because you won't get hired. And what he did, and I want you to write this down, and I want you to make a note of it, is he inadvertently attached shame to my story. Don't you dare let anybody else attach shame to your story. If the Lord God has told you to speak it, has told you to share it, don't you dare let anybody else attach shame to your story. So I go to my husband because, let me tell you something, just a side note, this is not in my notes, I love serving my husband. I love it. Like, I'm a businesswoman, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, but you know what I get greatest joy is serving my family, is making sure they get, you know, there's groceries, and I like putting food on the table. Sometimes it's inedible. Ask my family. They eat it and smile. But I love taking care of them. I love doing little things for them, you know? So I wanted his blessing. Because let me tell you something, wives, there's a beautiful, and my husband's probably chuckling at home, but there's a beautiful word in the Bible called submit. And I'm learning through 3 years of marriage, being with him 7 years, what a beautiful word submit is. You know, he's the head of our household. You know, he's the leader. He provides, he protects, he leads us. He's a godly man, and I'm sassy and Mexican, and I need to shut my mouth. Really. All the women in here laughed, and all the men said, I'm scared to laugh. I might get slapped. It's true. I'm working on it. God's working on it in me, okay? All right. Spiritual goggles, y'all. So here's the deal. So he planted the seed. And so I asked my husband, I talked to my daughter about it. And 1 year ago last week, I went into my first maximum security prison. Marion County Correctional Institute. I went in a year ago, and I got a time limit, I think, this morning. I'm not going to keep you all till this afternoon, even though I could. We could just call it revival, and it'd be a whole day. Pastor B and Pastor Amy are like, we're not prepared for that. Not this time, no. So I go in, y'all, and the first time, I'm just going to tell you this abbreviated version, I was terrified. I almost did not go in, okay? I almost turned around. And you know when you're so scared, you can smell it on you. You can smell fear on you. I was terrified. And I pushed through, and I went in anyway. And let me tell you what I found in this prison, y'all. I found joy in a prison. I found joy in a maximum security prison. Just like y'all have this band and these singers that are so amazing, I walk up in this prison, in this multi-purpose room. There's 202 men that are in this program in Marion County, and I walk up, and they got a prison band, and they're singing, and they're worshiping, and there's a guy playing the keyboard, and I'm just looking at him, y'all. I'm writing about it in my next book, and he's got joy coming off of him, and he's got his face upturned towards the heavens, and you can see, like, this heavenly glow on him. Yes, praise God. And I look, and I'm looking at him, and the pastor that brought me in to the left of me says, he says, isn't it ashamed? He said he murdered somebody when he was younger and he'll never get out. And what I recognized in that moment, and here's the title of what I'm speaking on today, and that is that God gave me spiritual goggles going in there because I didn't look at him like a murderer. I looked at him like any one of us that have made a decision that turned our lives in a different way. Right? I didn't have judgment. I didn't have condemnation. I didn't have ooh. I mean, I was scared, but as soon as I walked in that multi-purpose room, like the devil left, fear left, and I was like, wow, this is what I came for, right? And it was amazing. And I don't have time to share all the things that I shared that day, but I'll tell you, I went back a couple of months later, and the second time I went back, y'all, I wrote what I said in the book was, you know, for my older people, I was like, it was like the Flintstones. I could have run my own car. You know what I mean? I was like, let's go. You know, I was so happy. I was like, I wasn't scared no more. I was like, let's go. We going back into prison. You know, and I'm starting a prison gang, not like that, but like I'm starting a prison gang of speakers. Next year, people that want to go do this work and, so I go in the second time, and as a matter of fact, I'm going into another prison next week. So now I've been a total, since then, I've been inside prison walls, maximum security prisons, ministering to men, 6 different prisons in 1 year, and going again next week. And it is, thank you, it's God. But y'all, and I want y'all to write this down however you want to write it. Where does God want to send me? an unthinkable, crazy place. Because if you had asked me 4 years ago, being a national sportscaster, doing these things, if I was going to go, if I'd ever go inside a prison wall, I'd say, heck no, you crazy. What are you talking about, right? Where does God want me to go that I can't even fathom? Who does God want me to help that I can't even think? What does God want me to give for this new church or wherever it may be? You know, to bless people. I don't make a dime, y'all. Like, I don't, it's part of my ministry, you know? I'm working for the kingdom. My paycheck's eternal. And I want you to get an eternal paycheck, too. I want there to be things in your life that you would do 1,000 million kajillion times over because it makes God proud, and he called you to do it. That's what I want. I want you to have that. And so the second time I went in, I love history. I'm a history nerd. So I was like listening to something on YouTube. And this is how cool God is. We're talking about just, you know, in the Hebrew language, there's no word for coincidence. So there's no coincidences. He uses it all. It's all interconnected. And I was listening to something, and then it auto-cued another story up while I was on the way there because it's 2 hours from where I live. And it was a story about a man named Luz. I want you to go look him up later. Luz, L-U-Z, Long. Luz Long. I do not have the time this morning to be able to share all the story. I'm going to give you the bullet points, but trust me, anybody here like history? Anybody here like history? Okay. All right. Be proud, history nerds. Don't be like this. Like, well, I like history. Yeah. I'm a proud history nerd. I'm like, bring it on, you know? So go look him up because he's amazing. So I think it was either the 1936 or 38 Olympics. Anyway, it was the Olympics right before World War II. Hitler was in power. Okay. Just set the stage for you. There was a world-class Olympian from the United States named Jesse Owens. Okay, he's black. And he almost boycotted the Olympics because of Germany's resistance to allow Jewish athletes. And, you know, Jews, blacks, people of my ethnicity, anybody who wasn't Aryan, okay? And so he almost boycotted it, but he didn't. Jesse didn't. World famous athlete, y'all, track, field, athlete, I mean, just one of the best, okay? So he actually goes to Germany to compete. Now, Hitler, one of the worst human beings ever in the history of ever, is in power, okay? They're inside the stadium, they're competing, and there is a German named Luz Long that is competing against Jesse. Now, I just want to say it again, competing against Jesse. Yes. Thank you for repeating my words back. I love it. And so they're doing like their prelims for the penultimate competition. And Jesse misses the mark. And he misses the mark twice. And he has one more shot. And Luz Long does the unthinkable. He walks over to Jesse, his competition. He walks over to Jesse and says, I see why you're missing the mark. You're stepping too soon. Jesse takes his advice. He does what Lou said. He makes the jump. They go on to the finals, and Jesse beats him to win the gold, and Lou wins the silver. Now, if the story just ended there, it would be amazing enough, okay? So when they were taking their victory lap, Luz Long, in front of Hitler, put everything on the line. He didn't care. He had his spiritual goggles on. He didn't care about the color of this man's skin. He didn't care nothing about that. He saw another human being. He embraced Jesse and ran arm in arm around the lap, around the Colosseum, right in front of Hitler. And there are people, historians, that suggest, and you got to understand the cost, what it could cost him. His family could have been killed. He could have stood in front of a firing squad. But there are historians that believe that later on he was sent to one of the worst fronts in World War II, and he opposed all of this. He was sent to one of the worst fronts, the Sicilian front in World War II, and he writes a letter. And the letter, historians don't know when the letter came, but some people say that the letter came as he was on the front. But he, the letter said something like this, and you can go look this all up. It said, I am at war. I'm on the front. And he said, I have a wife and a child at home. And he said, I'm most worried that my child will not know who I am. And he said, will you go tell my child who I am? Now, where historians go back and forth is whether or not this last line, but it said that he felt like he was going to die in this battle. And he sent the letter, and the letter made it to Jesse. And Luz did die in that battle. Jesse took that letter. He not only absorbed the letter with his heart and soul, and he said, he went to Germany, and when Luz's son got married, Jesse was his best man. Y'all, Luz wore spiritual goggles. He wore spiritual goggles, and I told this story. Again, there's so much more to it, but I told this story when I was in the prison because I told them you can be a Luz long in prison. In prison. And when I was leaving there the second time, you can't hug in prison, you know. But I was leaving there the second time, and the men were coming up and speaking to me afterwards, and this one man comes up and speaks to me, and I had been told before he came up that he was, at one time, when he went to prison, he was number two in the Aryan Brotherhood in the state of Florida. If you don't know what the Aryan Brotherhood is, I'm going to explain. The Aryan Brotherhood is a modern-day version of the KKK. It's a hate group, okay? And so when he went in, he was number two in the whole state of Florida, okay? So he came up to me and he told me, he said, Miss Rachel, he said, I'm getting out of prison. And I said, well, that is great. What are you going to do differently? And he said to me, I'm not going back to where I came from. And that was good. That was real good, you know. But then he said something that will go in the book that has forever just seared into my soul. He said, Miss Rachel, he said, I don't hate anymore. He said, I got baptized back in April and I don't hate people anymore, Miss Rachel. Y'all, that deserves it. Give God all the glory. If God can turn a hateful man who is in a position of power of a modern day hate group and turn him around and turn his life around, my God, what he can do for you if you put on your spiritual goggles. He got those spiritual goggles on. Luz had those spiritual goggles on. And I pray for those spiritual goggles every morning. When I'm putting on that garment of openness, what it really is God put the goggles on my eyes to see them as your children. Maybe they smell. Maybe they're laying on the sidewalk like somebody I saw this morning. You know, any of us could be two steps away from that. Two steps away from that. And if I didn't tell you about my past, you would never know it. You know, I'm up here in a jumper that looks real expensive, but girls, it's from Walmart, and I love it. Bring it on. Y'all would never know that I had the past, that I have. But any of us are two steps away from that. And so I ask God for spiritual goggles to be able to see people the way that God sees them. I go into these prisons now. I don't smell their sweat. I don't look at them as murderers and rapists and robbers. I look at them as children of God who a lot of them had trauma, and the trauma turned into anger that turned into crime, and then the enemy set in. But God, if he can turn the heart of a man, this man, this former number two, if he can turn the heart, if he can ping the heart of a Luz Long to go and embrace somebody when it could cost him everything, just insane, right? It's insane. It's insanely beautiful. The other part I want to share with y'all, these spiritual goggles, is this. It's kind of twofold. And it is this part. That's kind of the hardest part, but it's been in line with what Pastor B has been preaching to y'all and sharing. And that is, y'all, when you pick up this cross and you wear your spiritual goggles, you are going to be, as I mentioned to the leaders here, you're going to be a high-value target. You're going to be a target of the enemy. You know, and I understand that Pastor Bradley has been sharing that, you know, sometimes we give the devil more credit. He said, and I love this, he said, we give the devil more credit than he deserves. Sometimes it is us. Sometimes it's us, like I was sharing about my family, like I'm the one. Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. I needed to get back in therapy, right? And I'm so grateful for that. And it made my daughter and I, my family and I closer because I want to be the best bonus mom that I can be in the world, right? And so sometimes we're the problem. Sometimes it's somebody else is the problem. But a lot of times if you are walking out your spiritual assignment, the enemy hates you, okay? And I know when I put my feet on the floor in the morning that, I make the devil big mad. He's like, crap, she's up. She made it through another night. Dang it, I tried to kill her yesterday. I tried to derail her. I tried to get her mad. I tried to ruin her testimony. I tried to do all these things, but she's up and here she goes again. Here she goes again, y'all. That part is I've come to expect it, that I am going to have trials and tribulations in this life. And I just want to be really real for a moment, as if I haven't been for the past whatever, and take off the mask, as we say in my movement, y'all. I don't know whoever gave us this idea, this prosperity gospel, and this idea that as Christians we're supposed to live a cushy, happy, joyful, peaceful life. Yes, we have all those things in the Lord, but he did not promise us a life without trouble. He just didn't. And I need to be honest with you and tell you, and it was so sweet, one of the sweet gals in the back, we were talking about my phone, and a gentleman walked up and he said, how much for the phone? He was being funny. And she said, you could take that phone. She said, but I have a feeling that there's a heavy cost with that phone. Because there's an anointing, but there's a heavy cost with this anointing. Y'all, I walked away from sports broadcasting in 2019 while I was still employed. Okay, I wrote my retirement letter to SiriusXM. I was the first female host on SiriusXM on their collegiate channels for all the girls in the room, big girls and little girls. I voted for the Heisman. I hosted the college football playoff, ACC sideline, all the different things. And I walked away while I was employed. And I remember I remember writing the retirement letter, and my boss was like, are you sure? It was like October 2019. He was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. After the season, I'm retiring. Y'all, I was so jacked. I was like, I had my whole year planned for speaking in 2020. And then COVID happened. I lost all my speaking engagements within 2 weeks. I lost my entire income within 2 weeks. And this was the year that I was supposed to bounce back after losing my mom, trigger warning, almost taking my own life. And then going through a breakup, which, you know, gosh, I got to just remind you, these moments that feel so heavy, these moments that feel so hard. I remember in that night where I had the dark night of the soul, I thought, okay, my mom has just passed away. I have zero money in my bank account because I've been taking care of her, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And sending her on trips, getting her exploratory medical treatments. And I'd just gone through a breakup, and I felt like I was going to lose my house, right? So it was like the perfect storm of crap. I think about the things that I almost took myself out of this world for, y'all. And one, I ended up marrying the man that I had just broken up with. And I have four beautiful children and have a family. But in that moment, it felt so fatal. And I couldn't bring my mom back. But our faith tells us that we'll see them again. I'm preaching out of her Bible this morning. And I thought about the church that led me back to the Lord. I thought about every Sunday my mom, my grandmother, and I would go. And I just said, you know, to God, I said, if you can let them have a front row seat this morning and hear their baby girl preach and let them see where I've come and where you brought me, God, that would be really great. So I feel like I have an audience in heaven that's really proud of me. So I think about that, y'all, and I can't not tell you the truth that there's a cost associated with it. I did lose my house, okay?
I lost everything, but by the grace of God, I built back. And what the enemy was trying to tell me that night was, you're pathetic, you're weak. Or people say they hear voices. I heard one voice, and it was a voice of a serpent. And I know now that it was a spiritual attack, because he was trying to take me out, because he knew I'd spend the rest of my days telling people, you're not defective, you're not weak, you're not broken, and God has a plan for you. And you haven't even met all the people you're going to love yet. You don't know what's up around the corner. Y'all, if you are going through a tough time right now, keep going. God did not promise us a worry-free, stress-free, problem-free life. He just promised us he would never forsake us. And you know, I've said this several times. I got to say again, we're working for the kingdom. I just want to say one day, God, to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If I lay my head on the pillow at night and I know that I've made God proud, then that's a good day to me, right? That's a good day. So I just want you to know that your calling is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And I don't feel like to get up here and share with you and be like, you know, all the good parts, all the great parts, if you follow me on social media, if you've read my book when you were here last time, you know I share all of it, the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, because the last thing I want anybody doing, y'all, and there's a Rachel Joy in this room. What in the world is that? There's a Rachel Joy in this room. Rachel Joy, the last thing I want you to do is look at my social media and compare yourself to it and feel bad about you. That is why I am on fire, and I am dedicated to showing you my life, good, bad, happy, sad, it don't matter, right? Like, I just want you to see, a real version of Christianity. And I'm not going to give you the powdered version, right? So for the women, yeah, if you're on my social media, I'll go on there, my hair on top of my head, no makeup, no filter, because I'm like, God made this. I might look like a troll underneath a bridge, but I'm going on this social media to say this right now, because I'm going to lose it if I don't say it, okay? Amen. And I love the verse in Job. He says, Job 13, 15. He says, even if he slays me, I will wait for him. I will surely defend my ways before him. This too will be my salvation, for no godless comes before him. Even if he slays me, I will wait for him. I want that kind of faith, y'all. I want that kind of faith in a world where my day is... Oh, here's another one. Y'all ready for this one? Did you have a bad day, or did you have a bad 15 minutes that ruined your entire day? Some of us are surrendering our entire days to the enemy because we had a bad 15 minutes. Woo, Lord, have mercy. Y'all, that is just woo, like, and I have ruined entire days. I have given entire days to the enemy with my grumbling, and I refuse to give entire days to the enemy anymore. I refuse, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. And so I, just this morning, just want to share with you as we wind down here, because I'm telling you, I could keep y'all in here all day. Here's my... I love this. I just opened up my Bible and didn't even plan to share this, but these were my husband's written vows to me that I carry in my mama's Bible. And I think about that night, because I know there are people in here that feel hopeless this morning. Maybe something's weighing on you. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're scared about your finances. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're worried. Somebody's sick. You're sick. You've gotten a bad report. I've been there. I've been in all those places. And it's why I come and share. And I still go through those places. But what I love about just pulling this out is that that night that I felt so hopeless, I had no idea that this day was going to come. I had no idea that God had a family for me and a husband. And he had a covenant partner for me. And I think about how the enemy tried to take all of that night, tried to convince me that I was worthless and lonely and useless, and I should be ashamed, and nobody wanted me, and nobody loved me, and I was going to lose my house. Y'all, if we are defined by some brick and mortar, then oh my gosh, your soul is so much more valuable than brick and mortar. So much more valuable than brick and mortar. And I wrote this down last night. It said, it's the goggles that we wear when every demon in hell is coming against us. Every force of evil is assigned to us. Everything that can go wrong is going wrong, and all hell is breaking loose. We have to put on the spiritual goggles to know that God is for us, that this is part of our journey. If we are picking up our cross and following Jesus, God has given us spiritual goggles to endure what we are meant to endure so that we can reach back and help somebody else. So these spiritual goggles, they're like the glasses from the 80s where you flip them up, you know, and you got the two glasses. Y'all laughing at me. I'm showing my age. But you know, the glass, you know, one part of them is this. One part of them is to be able to see people the way that God sees them. And the second part is to be able to use these goggles to endure. Use these goggles when times are tough, when life is tough, when we have been brought to our knees. I'll tell you one last little story and I'll end this morning. When my mom was going through cancer and her battle was about 8 months, and if you like me, you would have loved her. She was just a light. And so I have a war room. And if you've never seen the movie The War Room, I beg of you to go watch it. And if you're married, I beg of you to watch it with your partner. If you're going to get married, I beg of you to watch it with your intended. My husband and I, before we got married, we were trying to figure it out because we're just two imperfect people who really love each other. And we were on this trip and we were trying to figure it out. I had watched it before, and I put it on in this cabin up in North Georgia, and I got a bowl and I washed his feet. I wanted to have this sacrificial moment where I washed his feet as we watched the movie. So I created, even before that, a war room in my house in Nashville. I pulled everything out of storage and I started to put post-it notes on the wall when somebody asked me to pray. And if the prayer was answered, I would pull it off and I'd let it fall down. And there were tons and tons. I mean, everybody was asking me to pray because, let's be real, y'all. In this world, sometimes somebody asks us to pray and we go, okay, we'll pray. And then you forget. Y'all, start being intentional. When somebody asks you to pray, stop in that moment, whatever you're doing, and just talk to God about that person, right? And so I would have these post-it notes on the wall and I would share when I was in there praying for my mom. Because I needed people to see that. I didn't want people to see my shiny and my pretty. I wanted people to see my broken. And fast forward, we lost her, and I was having lunch with a woman, and her husband came along. She runs a foundation. Her son is in the NFL. And he had had a mental health issue as well, and they began a foundation because of it. And her husband comes along, he says, I know you don't know me, he said, but I prayed you through your mom's cancer battle when you were in your war room. So y'all, we're supposed to go to war for people. We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to be there for them. We're supposed to love them. And it's amazing to me what God can do through us and for us as a community. I promised Pastor Bradley that I would share this part, and then I really am done. yesterday I was at the Florida game, and I was there not as a fan. I did cheer for them yesterday, but I was there as a mentor, a mama, an aunt, a coach. They call me a lot of different things. But I speak to, as Pastor B mentioned, I speak wherever they'll have me. You know, I speak to corporations, churches, schools, high schools, colleges, athletic teams, NFL. I just broke in the NFL after 7 years last year and worked with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so I worked with the Florida Gators this past August. And what I want to encourage you to remember, for all my sports fans in the room, that there is somebody inside that helmet that is having a real life experience. that didn't have somebody show up for them at graduation, that literally walked across the stage and no one was there, that has a father that's incarcerated, that has a father that was never there, that has a mom that was a drug addict, that has, what you know, maybe good things, and then they go pass on good love, but it may be broken things. And I teach people this. If you had good love growing up, it's your responsibility to go teach that. If you didn't, healed people heal people, and hurt people, right? And so yesterday I was at the game, and I was there, and I won't name the player, but I was there to be a mama figure, right? For him to have somebody at the game. Because he hasn't had people come for him. And so I drove, stood in the rain, was on the sideline, saw him before the game, cheered him on, cheered more than a couple players I've created relationships with. That's what I do. I speak and then create relationships with people. You are so pretty, by the way. And so I was there to do that. And I just want to encourage y'all, please, as we close out today, to think about before, and I don't think anybody in this room would do it anyway, but think before you say those really horrible things on social media about a player or about a coach, because they're just grown-up players. We can express our dissatisfaction with a team without being ugly or making it personal. But I deal with these players and coaches, but predominantly players all over the country when their world is falling apart and their teams are losing and they're losing and they haven't hit the mark and they feel like a loser and they feel like their whole world is crumbling. And so I get to do that, and I that's what I walked away from. Y'all, that's what I walked away from. Walked away from that when I retired, you know, sports casting and all the, to do this, to get to do this, to travel, to speak to people, to be a Timu preacher, you know, that's what I get to do, you know. And then Bobby Bowden used to tell me, I was fortunate enough to be friends with him before he passed. He said, Shug, you know you preach in the Bible without ever preaching the Bible. I said, yes, sir, I do. So there are places I cannot mention God, but I'm mentioning God, you know, y'all feel me, I'm mentioning God. So Pastor B just lets me, and I'm so grateful for it, close this out in any way. You know, he lets me speak, God speak through me. How about that? And what God has impressed upon my heart. And what I want to say to you today, and I want to ask you, is this. I just want everybody to bow their heads, if you will, with me. Just a holy moment, y'all. And by the way, I just want to say this. I see some of these babies in the room, the young children in the room. Keep raising them up and letting them see you raise your hands and pray and do all the things. Keep letting them see that. So with everybody with your heads bowed, God, I just ask you, Lord, you've been impressing upon people's hearts. I've seen their hearts. I've seen their souls today, God. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that ability, God, to be able to see their souls, to see their hearts. God, I first just want to ask if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know you, that is far from you, is maybe who I was all those years ago. I knew God. I loved him. But I was actively living away from him. I was so broken. I was an addiction. I was away from God. I was not close to him. God, if there's anybody in this room for any reason who just today wants to come back to you, who wants to invite you into their heart, God, I just ask if there's anybody in this room that wants to be bold and make that decision today to raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for hands. Praise God for hands. For souls. You know, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We get to spend eternity with him. That's how I know this life is fleeting and it's short. And I want to live it and I want to run my race. So that when I get to heaven, we see our family and Jesus at the pearly gates. And y'all, we get to touch the hem of his garment. We get to hug him. We get to love him. So I praise God for those souls that just raised their hands. That is the eternal currency. I just hit the $1 billion jackpot that I get to be a part of that. Thank God. Thank you, God. And for anybody else in here who wants to put on their spiritual goggles, who wants to see people as God sees them, who feels the call in their heart to put on those spiritual goggles and to live out the rest of your days, problems or no problems, with those goggles on. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for hands all over the room, God. All over the room. These people are committing to you, God, that they, no matter the cost, no matter what it costs them, no matter what they go through, no matter how bad it hurts, that they are going to live out their days with their spiritual goggles on. Praise God for these souls. Praise God. Yes, you can clap. Praise God. And you can open your eyes. If you just raised your hand, I'd love for y'all, if you were bold enough to stand up, because I want people to see you. These are the people in this room that have said, no matter the cost, no matter what happens, I'm riding with Jesus now. He's my homeboy. I'm going. No matter what happens to me, y'all, there was another girl named Rachel Joy Scott in Columbine. And the shooters in Columbine asked her underneath a library table, do you believe in God? And she said, you know I do. And they shot her. I want those kind of spiritual goggles, that no matter what it costs me, that I'll say, you know I do, God. You know I do. And I'm just so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for a pastor that would invite a street preacher like me to come back and speak over and over again, and would let me speak here. Allow me to speak here. The name of Jesus. Because it's not about me. All I am is an instrument. All you are is an instrument. So I'm just so thankful. And Pastor B, I'm going to give this to you, this microphone to you, and let you finish out. But I'm just so thankful, guys, that you would allow me and love me and see me. And for those that stood, y'all saw them, for those that stood here at the end, and for those that maybe just a little scared to stand, provide them some support, provide them some extra love, provide them some grace, provide them some honey, as my therapist says, honey or vinegar, honey, give them honey, especially you married people. Thank you, guys. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to let Pastor B have this microphone.
Come on, y'all can do better than that. Y'all can do better than that. It goes without saying. I'm still going to say it. Super, super proud. It's been a long road. And I've watched from the sidelines, no pun intended. But more than me, I know your mom and your grandmother. Because I knew them personally, and I knew their heart for God and their passion for you, I can say with confidence that they are very proud of the road you're on, the path you walk, regardless of the cost. Would you guys just stretch your hands up here? I'm going to pray over Rachel before she goes. I know she'll be available to sign books and all that stuff, and if she's made an impact in your life, that you'll share that with her. Because let me tell you something. What she just did, the openness, comes with a tremendous cost and a tremendous weight and a target that you have to stand way back. The target on her back is so huge, you can't even make it out close. And so today, Father, I lift up Rachel right now. Come away from that edge. I don't want you falling off that side right there. There you go. Father, I lift up Rachel to you right now. God, I thank you for my sister. I thank you for my friend. Thank you for her faith. And God, right now I ask in the name of Jesus that you would place a hedge of protection around her as she travels back to her amazing family today and wherever her journey takes her in the weeks, days, and weeks to come. Father, there'll be a hedge of protection. Father, strengthen her today. Fill her back up where she has poured out, God. Father, may she find continued unexplainable favor in you. Father, doors that she doesn't even know are available to her. Father, you are already in those rooms, preparing those rooms for her, and that those doors will be open as she continues to be obedient for you, to you. Father, I thank you for her stance and her commitment to stand with athletes who are battling stuff we have no idea. And I thank you that you've given her those that opportunity to walk into those rooms and to speak to those young men and those young ladies. Father, encourage her today where she's encouraged us. In the name of Jesus, and Father, I thank you that you are giving her the desires of her heart. The desires of your heart will come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You already know. Will come to pass. In Jesus' name. And will be used in ways you cannot even imagine. That's why the fight. It's why the fight. So we speak complete wholeness from the top of her head, the soles of her feet. Protect her heart. Guard the vision. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all, give it up one more time for this servant.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.